cover tonight, just a little bit, because I do plan on preaching on something. Some of the stuff you've been hearing the last couple weeks, you might hear again on a Sunday night, maybe on a Sunday morning. But that's because we don't have a big crowd here on Tuesday night, and so sometimes I'm going to take it and use it again when we do have the crowd, all right, in a different form, I mean, naturally. All right, unity makes us different but one. In other words, we're different, but we're still one. Okay, that's awesome. It's awesome that we're different. It's awesome that we're not all the same. It's awesome that we're different, but we're one. Uniformity makes us all the same, and usually not one. All right? Unity creates an organism. Uniformity craves organization. Unity, again, God moves through so easy and so awesome when there's unity. All right? Unity combines and includes. Uniformity confines and excludes. Wow. That's tough. Y'all say that again three times real fast. God promotes unity. Tyrants. Who's the biggest tyrant we know? Satan. Think about communism. Communism promotes uniformity. Terrorism before. These guys are talking about how big, and they were talking about they were going to show how big and brave and strong they were marching down the streets of Iraq. And I watched them as they marched the army down, big and bad and strong, trying to show their military might. And every last one of them were wearing black, and every last one of them had their face covered. That doesn't necessarily show me big and bad. That shows me uniformity. All right? And let me just give you a few jots to jot down if you're jotting down notes. Ephesians 4:3 says, you are joined together with peace through the Spirit, so make every effort to continue together in this way. Colossians 3:14 says, most of all, let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. Here's five little things about unity, and then we'll jump on to the next one. How many know that it's, let me just ask, whose job do you think it is to promote and protect or protect? Whose job is you think it is to protect the unity of your church? Whose job? Thank you, all of us. It's everybody's job. It's not something that somebody else, well, they'll do it, they'll take, no. It's everybody's job in the church to take care of the unity of the church. Unity of the church is so important that the New Testament gives more attention to that than heaven and hell. Wow. Wow. Did you ever think about that? He talks about unity in church more than heaven and hell. God deeply desires that we experience oneness and harmony with each other. Unity is the soul of fellowship. Just destroy it and you rip out the heart of God. You rip out the heart of God's body, Christ's body. Our supreme model for unity is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are completely unified. All right? And there's nothing more valuable to God than His church. He paid the ultimate price by sending His Son, and He wants to protect it, especially from devastating damage that's caused by division, conflict, and disharmony. So it's our, every last one of us, it's our duty to protect the unity of our church, protect the unity of our home. Number two, if you want to keep unity, number two, focus on what we have in common, not our differences. When I get somewhere and somebody's arguing, I'm trying to break up the argument or try to help, I don't go right to start with and start attacking the differences, because it's never going to get anything going. I always go with what they got in common. Let's get some common ground here. We find the common ground, then we can move toward the other. Number three, be realistic in your expectations. Number four, choose to encourage rather than criticize. Number five, here's a good one. Refuse to listen to gossip. Refuse to spread it. Had a guy tell me, he said, buddy, I said, tell me more. He said, I've already told you more than I heard. So that's cool. All right, ready? So now, that's unity. Number R, or letter R, rejoicers. 9-13, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. And again, Esaias saith that thou shalt be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to the reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This stuff here is some good stuff. This is just awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. Rejoicers, do you know that you got more reason to rejoice than anybody? We all do. Everybody in this church, everybody here right now, every Christian in this community has got more reason to rejoice than the richest man that doesn't know Jesus Christ. We've got eternal life. That's right. That's exactly right. We got eternal life, and we got protection down here. We know that we've got God with us. God's on our side. Nehemiah 8 and 10. Now I want you to look at Nehemiah 8 and 10. It's written right here for you. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to give you a little background. We talk about this scripture all the time. But how many know the background of this scripture? Can you imagine this revival meeting they just had? They've built these walls. They've done all this stuff to rebuild the walls. But in the middle of rebuilding the walls, they hadn't rebuilt their heart. Wow. It's possible to work for God and still not have your heart right. They hadn't rebuilt their heart. So Nehemiah gets Ezra out, builds him a pulpit, and says, okay, I want you to read, all the stuff they had written up to that time, I want you to read the law to the people. It said that they read the law from morning to midday, meaning in the Bible it says in the Old Testament, morning usually is around 9 o'clock, and midday is 12. So for 3 hours, the Bible says the people stood and listened. Can you imagine standing in church for 3 hours? Standing for 3 hours while the preacher's preaching. Wow, that'd be awesome. And out in the hot sun, yes, so here you go. These people are standing for 3 hours, and they're hearing the word of God. And they haven't heard the word of God in so long. See, they were work-centered, but they weren't word-centered. And so Nehemiah knew to crown off this event, they had to get back to the word. And so so Ezra reads the word to them. And here's what the people do. It's really awesome that they were attentive because they all stood. They were responsive because the Bible says they said amen. And they were demonstrative because they uplifted their hands and they cried and they said, whoa, this is awesome. Some of them were happy and some of them were sad. On Sunday morning when you get preaching, sometimes I look out and some are happy and some are sad. Some are saying, I wish you wouldn't stop, and some say, I wish you hadn't started. Amen. Had a man's wife walk out one day and she said, I could have listened to it all day long, couldn't get enough. And he said, yeah, I had about all I could take too. Amen. So, they were attentive, they were responsive, and they were demonstrative. But when they heard this thing, it actually, some of them were happy and some of them were sad. And Nehemiah goes, ho, I didn't bring this out here to tear y'all up. I didn't do this to destroy you. I did this because you needed to get word-centered. And you got to know that, and then he reads this to him. He says, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them who nothing is prepared, for this day is a holy day unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so it tells them, we're getting ready to have a good time. After revival comes the good time. And so every last one of us could use some redirection to the word so we can understand that's where our power comes from. It's just not feel good stuff. This is the word. The word is awesome. And I can tell you just as good when somebody's up trying to help you or talk to you that has not studied their word. You can tell just as good. You can tell just good when somebody is word-centered and when somebody just skips off the top of the word. You know, they got their 5 or 6 little verses. A lot of times when these cults come to your house and they start talking to you, they got their 5 or 6 verses that they've studied. And if you have studied your word, you can go back and you can take the same verses they're bringing to you and talk to them about it in context, before and after. Know why it was written, and who it was written for, why it was written then, and what it means now, the prophetic meaning of it. When you do that and start reading it to them, they just do like this. And you go, tell me more, I want to hear more. I confused the Mormons so bad one time that Utah called me. I kid you not. Utah called me and said, you tore my man up. Said, talk to me. And I said, I really ain't got anything to talk about. I said, I know what I believe and I'm standing on it. He said, well, you sure tore him up. Number one, I had this little thing that showed me how to minister to Mormons, but two, I just took the word before and after, knew the background, and talked to them. All right? So now, God wants us to have joy. How many knows that? God wants us to be happy. When we had that funeral for Margaret today, it was a sad time that we were losing her, but it was so happy, it was so joyful, because the woman told me all day Friday, Pastor, I'm not scared. I am ready. I have made it right. I know what's coming my way. Either way, I know. And so even with her dying, and it hurt, at the same time, rejoicing for her, because we know. I'm either going to see my three down here, or I'm going to see the three up there, but I'm going to see my children again in just a little while. And she saw all six of them in one day. Amen. So that's cool. Now, rejoicing. Here's what rejoicing does. First, it produces passion. Life no longer is full of dread due to circumstances. How many are so dreadful of circumstances you're having to face? Do you know that if you live with that dread in your life, the circumstances get worse and worse and worse? He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if it's my strength, then it's my passion. If it's my passion, I don't have to dread every circumstance that comes my way. If I know God's got this, he tells us to come to him like a child. When I was a little child, my daddy said, I got this. I didn't have to wonder. He had it. When my daddy said, you're going to have it. Look, my daddy said, we're going home and I'm going to fix you a good supper. I didn't even have to think about it. My daddy said it and I was going to believe it. And my daddy told me I was going home and not going to be sit down for a week. I believe that one too. Whatever my daddy told me, I believed. So why don't we, when our Father tells us, our Heavenly Father tells us, he's got this, why can't we rejoice in the worst of circumstances? Trust God in the worst of our circumstances. Life no longer is full of dread due to circumstances. Number two, not is it passion, but it's also power. You feel you can stand against satanic attacks. Circumstances do not control you. That's awesome. When Satan's coming at me, you come at me. We're going to fight, but you're not controlling me. We're going to get this. We're going to win. I've already read the back of the book, haven't you? I know you have too, because we even did a bunch of series on stuff, but such a sermon's on Revelation. We win. Watch all stuff happen. ISIS? ISIS don't scare me. ISIS just tells me, you know, the Bible says in the end they're going to rebuild Babylon. That's what they're doing right now. They're rebuilding it. Okay? I thought Hussein was the one doing it by rebuilding the Babylon, but it's not that. I believe now it's ISIS. John Kerry's over there. We're going to make a new government. We're going to make a whole different thing going here. They're rebuilding. We're one step closer to going home. Amen? I believe with all my heart, Margaret ain't going to be able to sit down good if we're in there talking to her. Amen? We're that close. So power. Circumstances don't control you. And then press. You can move forward. Not just stand. It's one thing to stand. And I mean, it's awesome to stand. How many remember playing Red Rover, Red Rover? Well, back in the day, when I was a lot skinnier, I might not have much of a chance to break through it, because if people put their arms together and link them, and I've just held hands, we'd go on through it. If they link their arms together, and they'd get down and buckle down good and strong, and they'd hold it together. Unless I can make some kind of face to scare them to death, I'm not going anywhere. Now I can. I ain't worried about playing. If I played Red Rover right now, I believe I'd win. Amen. Right. But as long as we would link it, wow, it was awesome. And look, we need to do more than stand. We need to move forward. And we need to move forward. You know, I was trying to remember the name for it. I can't remember the name for it right now, but part of it was Papillon, and I can't remember what the other was called, but the Roman soldiers would get like this, and they would move like this, and they would hold their shields in front of them, and the guys behind them would hold their shields up. It was called tutorus, like a tortoise, tutorus. And when they marched, they had the outside guys had their shields out, the inside guys had their shields up, and they practiced letting chariots run over the top of them. Powerful. Powerful. All right, when we got unity and joy, we're like that tutorus. We're pulled together, we got our shields up, and whatever Satan throws at us, we keep moving forward. Tutorus. Awesome. Awesome stuff. God don't want you just standing. God wants you moving forward. Amen? And so it's important. Joy is the ingredient, because circumstances don't control us and circumstances cannot stop us. You know, what is joy? Joy is more than a feeling. Amen? Somebody say joy is more than a feeling. Joy is more than goosebumps. Well, I know I got joy because I got goosebumps. Well, I got goosebumps because the air conditioner ran around my neck. I got goosebumps because somebody just stepped on my foot. No. Joy is more than a feeling. Joy is something very, very powerful. It is a state of your mind, your body, and your spirit. They all come together as one. It's a result of completeness and overcoming obstacles that otherwise will weigh you down. It's an inward peace and inward happiness beyond situations. I just can't help but remembering, after we had that memorial service for Cookie's mama, we talked about an inward joy, an inward peace. And she told me right then, she said, I got an inward peace. I'm going to go to the hospital Friday, but I got an inward peace. Nothing's going to shake it. She told me Friday, nothing's going to shake my inward peace. Praise God. It's awesome. Thou shalt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are the pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16 and 11. The joy is a protection and a strength. The Bible tells us what we just read. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8 and 10. Joy is a reward for victory over fear, depression, and all manners of sin. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. How many, when you walked in the door, I said, thank you, Lord. I walked through this church, they praying. And as I was praying through this church, I said, Lord, thank you. I thank you that we got a church to come to. I thank you, God, that we have a sweet God to love us and enable us to be able to come to the church. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Raise your hands, just praise him. Don't wait for somebody to tell you. He says, you, enter with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 104. And then, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 98 and 4. Make a joyful noise. He didn't say you had to sound like Pat Boone. You didn't have to sound like some of these older singers. He just said, I want you to make a joyful noise. Praise God, he had me in mind. Make a joyful noise. That's the same word that was used when it said that Joshua told the people on the seventh day, on the seventh time around, to turn and face the wall and shout for God to have given you the city. That word shout means make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Wow. So, we got a choice. We can drag around, or we can trust God. Amen? I don't want to drag around. Amen. James 1, 2, and 3 says, and I'm closing, my brethren, count all joy and fall into divers temptations. I went ahead and put these words in for you. Knowing this. I like the word for knowing this, because knowing doesn't mean to perceive, it means to have resolve. Resolve. What does resolve mean? I know it, you're not going to change my mind. I got resolve. You're not changing my mind. I know what it is. Knowing this, that trying your faith, your very foundation, worketh, means to fashion fully. Isn't it cool that you're in God's hands and he's taking care of you? To fashion fully, worketh patience. That word patience is cheerful endurance. It's one thing to look. Patience is more than waiting. It's how you wait. that's not cheerful endurance. And I have to, I gotta tell you, I was in Greenville. Every time I get in Greenville, there my cheerful endurance is always tried. Some guy stopped right in the middle of the road. Just stop. Right in front of the funeral, right in front of the graveyard. I was sitting there, Brother Burton was in there, and I was helping him out of his car, and this guy just stops in the road. People are tooting the horn, Brother Burton's waving, and I said, no, Brother Burton, ain't for you, bro. This guy stopped his car right in the middle of the road. Yeah. And I was feeling pretty good because it was, the man told me, I said, Brother Burton, he said, I have a hard time walking. I said, you just go up there and I'll be with you. We'll tell him that you have a hard time walking, they'll get you in a good spot. And so Brother Burton, he goes and they said, Brother Burton tells him what funeral is going to. He says, you drive right up those cones. He said, okay. I was behind Brother Burton. I said, I'm with him. He's one of my members. He needs a good place to park. He says, yeah, I think I have a good place. I said, well, where do you want me to go? He said, park right behind me. No, in fact, he said, who are you here for? And I said, I'm on the bride, on the groom side. He looked at me and then he started laughing. He said, why are you here? And I said, I'm here for the Margaret Roberts service. And I'm with that guy. He's my member. And he's has bad legs and he's a good place to park. He said, I'll give him a good place to park. You park right behind him. I said, all right. So I parked out and I'm getting my tie. The funeral director comes and says, you can't park here. And I said, well, he's parking there. He says, he can, but you can't. And I said, here it goes again. Cheerful endurance. And I said, why can't I park here? He said, because we're going to park the hearse there. I said, I reckon I don't need to be here then, do I? And so I went and parked, and Sister Dot parked behind me. As I parked, but I parked a little ways away. But still, cheerful endurance. Just smile. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard just to do this, but try it sometimes. When you're under trial, just do this. Every time, every new shirt I got has got chili. I mean, it don't matter. My wife will tell you, everything I got is spotted up with food. I told her, I'm going to buy me a bib and just start wearing a bib every time I eat. They did the bib. We need a bib. How many think it's not a sissy look to wear a bib? Good. I'm glad y'all said, y'all need to tell people that when they see me wearing my bib. He's not a sissy. Well, I said it's cheaper to buy a bib than to get your shirt clean. That's what, or a new shirt. I said, that's right. Wisdom. And every Italian, my wife's Italian, every Italian movie I see, when the guys are eating spaghetti, what do they got on? A bib. Even Marlon Brando, who was the baddest, he's the godfather, he wore a bib. I'm going to find me one of them, give it to me. I'm going to say, I want that lobster bib, and I'm going to start carrying it with me everywhere I go. Then people see that lobster on it, they're going to say, I didn't know they served lobster in this restaurant. Sure, come on. Oh, yeah. My wife, the place where we got the bucket sent to us. Amen. All right. God, help us to guard unity, to rejoice, to have a good time in you, have some fun in you. Lord, be a comforter, be humble, have unity, and be a rejoicer. God is awesome all the time. Amen. Let's either come up here and pray or pray at your seat. Father, I love you, Lord, and I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. I thank you, God, for your word. It's powerful, Lord. It's awesome. And we know, God, we can trust you and we can understand that you're going to be there even when we don't understand it. And I thank you for it, Lord. I ask you right now to touch and anoint each and every person here this night. Help us, Lord, to take your word to heart, to stand on it. Lord, I thank you also, God, for the comfort, Lord, that you gave us today at that funeral and the continual comfort that we're going to have in the days to come. I thank you, God. You're in total, absolute, awesome control. Use us, Lord, In the name of Jesus, use us, Lord, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. I like that. Say that again, girl. I love that. Go ahead. Is that you said amen? That sounded so sweet. Say it again. All right. That was sweet. Amen. All right, Sunday we're going to look. I know y'all been thinking, wow, he peeled us back last week. Righteousness, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Guess what it is this week? Blessed are the meek. Not the meek, but the